One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
All right, you have your Bible. Turn with me, please, to that unusual book called Daniel. Daniel, and we'll go to the last chapter of the book of Daniel. Daniel was God's Jew boy that refused to cater to the world. Though he was captured, it didn't keep him from being a good witness. We've come now to the picture of the end time. He said these things are going to be shut up unto the end time. He purposed in his heart in the first chapter that he wouldn't defile himself, eating the king, the portion of the king's meat, and drinking the king's wine. In the last chapter of the book of Daniel, we have the seal prophecy. That time shall Michael stand up. If you were to go back to the 11th chapter, you'll find that they're going to take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolation. And he said it's going to be a horrible time. Now, in the 12th chapter, we find the result of the death in the pulpit and death in the place of worship, because form is come and fire has gone, and that's about where we are now. So he said, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in a book. No, it said the book. In the book. Now then, verse 2, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now then, here's your text for this morning. And they that shall be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. They that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. You can't kill a soul winner. You can't stop his light from shining. I run into the converts of Billy Sunday all over the nation. Billy Sunday was a Presbyterian evangelist who preached against sin, exalted a wonderful Christ. Had mighty stirrings. I mean, Mordecai Ham came to Corpus Christi many years ago, an old-fashioned evangelist, the man who won Billy Graham to the Lord. And Sam Jones was a great Methodist evangelist. But you notice all the great evangelists, really, whose work shall last, always took a firm stand against sin. Billy Sunday did. Sam Jones did. And I've told you before, when I went to Cartersville, my good friend, Brother Mrs. Shelton, storekeeper for many, many years, great Christian couple, and they took me by. I landed there because I couldn't get on into Atlanta until the fog had lifted, and I was to have a noonday meeting there in a hotel. I believe a group of business women had asked me to. So I landed and went to his home, called him up. And he gave me a big watermelon for breakfast, and we fellowshipped a while. And then he said, let me drive you to the airport. I said, all right. But he said, if you have an extra minute, we'll drive through the cemetery. And we did. And the road went around, and you could go through and right out. And he said, look at there. That's the tombstone I wanted you to see. On it was written, they that would be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. They that turn men into righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And I saw on that big old tombstone, Sam Jones, God's prophet of another day. He still lives. He won people to Christ. If you want to be immortal, you win souls. If you want to do something immortal, win souls. Now, because I believe in salvation by grace and the series of messages that trumpeted the truth concerning God's eternal plan of salvation, eternal and everlasting, then I believe when I win somebody to Christ, that's forever. Why? Because he got a forever life and eternal life, and he was saved forever and sealed, and God assumes and accepts the responsibility of getting him right on to heaven. And since that's true, the only eternal thing I can do, these buildings we're building, though seem well built, but they'll go. They'll have to go. But all right? Many that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. Now then, turn with me, please, to Matthew 4:19 for the simple plan of salvation in soul winning. Here it is. You can't beat this. You can read through the Bible. You can read all the soul winning books. And I've been to the seminars, and I've been to the study courses and taught them. Started my ministry off in teaching a study course yonder in not too far from Fort Worth, Texas. And it's in Matthew chapter 4, and verse 19. There's no way to improve on this plan. This is it. This is it. 4:19, and he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And that's God's plan. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And it just goes, and easy to say, if you're following him, you're fishing. He said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. God can make a soul win out of anybody that'll let him save them. And then obedience comes, and then you become a soul winner. It's God's will that people be saved. A little girl came up to me, and she said, I don't have any money. I don't have any money. Met me in the aisle coming down toward the pulpit, and I wish everybody could read all the notes that I get and all the letters that I get. Brother, it'd make some book if I could save all the letters and see how they put it and what they say. And I'll say this, for one ugly letter that I might get or criticism, there'll be 100 of the most precious letters I've ever read. I've got them scattered all over my room. They're all over the floor, and miserable, afraid to throw anything out that I might throw down on the floor, anything. But a little girl came up to me, and she said, I don't have anything but this. It's a 17-jewel watch. I don't have any money, and it's running right now. And she said, I give that. That's soul winning. That's helping us to reach somebody. That's what I'm talking about. Just doing what you can. Just doing what you can do. Soul winning. I want us to pray again. Our Father, we pray for our friend and worker that's in sorrow, and for all those that have had a hard week. We pray to bless and sustain. Now give me the message right now as we preach on this practical side of the Christian life. Father, we talk about applied science and applied medicine, practicing medicine, practicing law. God, help us to see that when we practice Christianity, we win in souls for thee. And we pray that you'll bless the radio friends as we bring even the next message that will climax the truth of personal soul winning. Father, we pray that not only we'll have money to build buildings, but we'll have power to win souls. We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, you said, he that winneth souls is wise, and he that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Help us now that we might challenge the people, and everybody here might accept the sweet challenge. May they not be afraid at all, just to do what God tells them to do, and let him work in them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now then, just before we go further into the message, let me give you some of the joys of winning souls. The Bible said, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless. Now that means without one doubt, you'll come again. How? With rejoicing, bringing some sheaves with you. Now then, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I think I could never fail to give this chapter if we're going to really preach, because this says you can, God, this is God's guarantee, absolutely his guarantee, that you're going to win somebody to the Lord. Verse 22 and verse 23, he said, 1 Corinthians 9:22 and 23, to the weak became I as weak that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake. That's right. For the gospel's sake. I do it for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Turn to the book of John for just a moment. The book of John. Oh, some simple things we want to share with you, but let's get a good look at the scripture. Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Verse 38, I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and you're entered into their labors. Now somebody preached and somebody cared and somebody did some soul winning to win me to Christ. Somebody had a little church out in the Navarre County named Shiloh Baptist Church, which means peace. And that's where I didn't make peace. I found peace. Somebody said, make peace with God. You can't make peace. Already been made. Jesus did that 2,000 years ago on the cross and through the resurrection. But we are to accept his peace. And now then, let's talk for a little while about winning souls. Number one, you got to first go where they are. Just like fishing. Just like fishing. You can sit all day. I remember the story many years ago. When I first started preaching, just popped in my mind, a dear friend was fishing in the backyard. Little puddle of water. And she was sitting there. And this is where the story originated. Somehow or another, they made it up. And somebody said, Eliza, are you catching any fish? Said, no, sir. No, sir. Said, well, why would you fish in that little pond in your backyard? And she said, it's just so convenient. Brother, it'll never be convenient to win souls. It'll never be easy, and it'll never be convenient, but it'll be worthwhile. Listen, you've never been fought like you'll be fought when you begin to win souls for Christ. They've stopped us from the street preaching now. Used to, when God called me to preach, stand on in street corner almost in America and preach on John 3:16, holler as loud as I wanted to and preach as long as I wanted to. And a crowd would get, I know because I was there, Waco, Texas, when I was in Baylor, Trinidad, Texas, Malakoff, Texas, Athens on the square. I stand there a minute. Well, listen, I remember I'm kneeling right down there, talking, praying with people. And on the street in Malakoff, man, we'd give an invitation right there on the sidewalk. On Saturday afternoon, people come from everywhere, you know, to come to town on Saturday afternoon. And they just, I'd say, I give an invitation. If you want to trust Jesus Christ, come now. Today's the day of salvation. Here, people come down the sidewalk, give me their hand. We'd kneel right down there on the sidewalk. We'd crowd pack it out. People would go out on the edge of the street to walk around this, you know. And many of them would come and stand. That's back when the people respected the gospel. There wasn't no booing. There wasn't no demonstration except the demonstration of the Spirit of God. People got saved right out on the street. Now then, you can have dances in the street, but you can't have any ghost spells. But look what the difference is, too. Look what happened to our nation since we quit the jailhouses. It's difficult to get in the penitentiaries. The Lord being my helper, I intend to spend some time in the penitentiaries. That's where the field is white and ripe already under harvest. I wish you could read the letters that I get every day and every week that comes around from men in the penitentiary. One of them wrote me, they said, I've been in the pen 29 years. I was 17 when I came in. I'm 46 years old now. And he said, I've been in so long, I've lost every connection I ever had. Not a loved one, not a friend that would be willing to give me a chance if they let me through the gate on the outside. Brother, those fields are white already under harvest. And Jesus said, don't say 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. He said, just lift up your eyes and look on the fields that are white already under harvest. Number one, there's great rejoicing in soul winning. If you want to have a big time, I mean really rejoice. I'm not talking about just a little fun. I'm talking about if you want to rejoice, you go win some souls to Christ. And then go where they are. You've got to go. And brother, that's just about everywhere. The Bible said, go ye into all the world. He said, go in the highways and the hedges and do what? Compel them to come in, soul winning. Oh, this intriguing, fascinating, refreshing business. Then the third thing I want to say is, we ought to count it a tremendous privilege that God would let us do such a permanent thing as winning souls to Christ. You think about going out and talking to an old wicked drunkard or dope addict or self-righteous, nice, moral woman or man, and then win them to Christ and see them begin to rejoice in the Lord and see them begin to be useful. Let me ask you this. Just consider, what if all the people that we've had the privilege of winning to Christ were just lost right now, and we never had won any of them to the Lord? You say, what in the world made the difference? Soul winning. The banker said, why? To me, because he's blind as a bat. He said, why would you waste time on one old jailbird as he drove me back to the airport? I'll never forget that day. I said, I believe God's got his hand on that boy right there in that jail. You know why? I found a boy that had come to the end of himself. I didn't know it then, but he had a great praying mother. And I tell you, it's hard for the devil to get children that belong to great praying mothers. You just put it down. You find me a prayer closet mother, and I'll find you a child that belongs to her that'll walk with God someday. You let us have some praying mothers and soul winning mothers and great praying daddies, and we'll have some children that'll walk with God. That's right. Oh, listen, you know the story. You've heard me talk about the wasted life of our young people, and the boy that his daddy called me in Houston, Texas, and he said, Brother Olaf, it's my boy that's on dope, that's on dope. And the boy got on the phone and he said, let me ask you a question, Brother Olaf. My daddy's real concerned about me now because I'm sort of shooting dope and taking dope and smoking marijuana and so forth. He said, what's the difference? My daddy drinks liquor and smokes cigarettes. Isn't that a form of dope? I said, you're exactly right, son. Daddy hadn't got a peg to stand on. Mothers and dads, we'll have soul winning children when we have righteous mothers and they go where they are. Now then, I want to talk about two kinds of evangelism for just a little bit. First is home evangelism. Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, I'm going home. Got somebody that's lost and I'm going to win them to Christ. I'm not going to let my loved ones go to hell. Want every one of them, want the family circle to be unbroken in the sky. Chapter 1, verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, we've found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. You're going to become a soul winner. You're going to become a stone. You're going to stand like a stone for Jesus Christ. Turn to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Here's a man, was a good man named Cornelius. Centurion. The band called the Italian band, devout, feared God, gave much alms, prayed to God always. Good recommendation, but a lost man. And I'd like to say this, the hardest people on earth to win to Christ are the self-righteous people. Religious, joined the church, got a job in the church, been a Baptist all my life, been a Catholic and so forth. Devout, feared God with all his house, gave much alms. I want you to notice this. As far as we know, his whole house was lost. And we find that as we go a little further into this chapter. Home evangelism. Household evangelism. Verse 30. 10:30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting to this hour. The ninth hour I prayed in my house. Amen. Prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. Thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Now, that's visitation, isn't it, right there? Notice what he said. Send therefore to Joppa, that's the city. Call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. That's the man you're going after. He's lodged in the house of Simon. That's the house number. A tanner by the sea, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. And so he gave him the explicit directions, and here he goes. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now then, here it is. Now, therefore, are we all here, present before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. I got my family together, and we're here. I'm talking about household evangelism. Go to the Old Testament just for a minute. I'll just rehearse this for you, and because we're in a hurry. Did you know that a woman by the name of Rahab, the most unlikely person on earth, no doubt it brought her mother and daddy much sorrow, much trouble, and maybe it was a delinquent girl in her day. Maybe ran away from home, and they called her the harlot, which is certainly not a very good name. Rahab the harlot. But somebody told her about the children, at least the children of Israel, and she had faith to believe they were God's people. And when the spies came over to spy out the land, and they were about to get caught, she said to them, "Oh, I wish that I knew how to get spared." In other words, in a way, I wish I could get saved. I wish I could be saved. I hate to see, I don't want to be destroyed, but I know they're going to kill us all when they come. And you know what the committee said, or the little group of men, you know what they said? If you'll take a crimson thread and put it from the window to the ground, you'll not be killed. I'll so inform my men and the marching Israelites, when we come across the river, we're not going to kill you, but you're going to have to do what I tell you to do. You're going to have to get back behind that thread, that crimson thread, that red thread. Well, she said, look here. She made up her mind she'd do it, but she said, what about my family, my mother, and my daddy? I'll trust any soul winner. If you get a burden for others, if you really get to winning souls for Christ, and your main burning desire is to win people to Christ, and let me say this, you'll never have the Spirit of Jesus until you want your whole family saved. Oh, I tell you, I'd hate to get to heaven without my kin folks. I want them to be there. One of the joys of my life is to see many of my kin folks won to the Lord. Old Uncle Abe, an infidel, I guess, for many years. He laughed. Oh, when I started preaching, he'd laugh at me. He'd just laugh, just chill me to pieces. I mean, just chill me to pieces. Made me want to run from him when he'd laugh. And look at me, you know, spit tobacco juice and criticize my God. Laugh at the thought of hell. But one Sunday night under the old gospel tent, his life and days were over. Fell on his old sinful knees and looked up at me. And he said, "Lester, this is my last train. I better catch it tonight." Not talked with him and prayed with him. He gave his heart to Jesus, and not long after that, he went to be with the Lord that he'd rejected most of his life. Go, my soul.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar Program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar Program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.